Good morning, brethren from around the world. I hope you are enjoying the beautiful setting of this feast site and the mountains and the sea of North Wales. And of course, we're getting plenty of fresh air from the Atlantic Ocean. So it's a very healthy spot for all of us, physically and of course, spiritually as well. Today, the subject of the sermonette is a Christian's life. A Christian's life. And we're going to look at especially how being human beings on this earth, we are limited on what we can do being as Christians. And of course, this is training us for the future, our future in God's kingdom. So even the Apostle Paul, if you'd like to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, even the Apostle Paul had limitations and boundaries placed on him. Let's read that in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 12 to 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 12 to 18. And the title here in the King James Version, the new one, is Limits on Paul's Authority. So this applies to us all, as we'll see shortly. Verse 12, for we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves, but they, measuring themselves by themselves, comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. We, however, will not boast beyond measure, but within the limits of the sphere which God has appointed us. So even the Apostle Paul was limited to the sphere God had appointed for him. A sphere which especially includes you, because he includes the Corinthians in his sphere of influence. Verse 14, for we are not overextending ourselves as though our authority did not extend to you. For it was to you that we came with the gospel of Christ, not boasting of things beyond measure, that is, in another man's labors. But having hope that as your faith is increased, we shall be greatly enlarged by you in our sphere. So again, he's talking about his own area of activity in the ministry. Verse 16. To preach the gospel in the regions beyond you, and not to boast in another man's sphere of accomplishment. So again, he emphasizes that he's not to clash, to go into other person's territory or sphere of work, and cause complications in the work of God. Verse 17, but he who glories, let him glory in the eternal. We're all part of a church. We're all part of a group. So we have to learn how to get on with each other, how to cooperate with each other. Verse 18, for not he who commends himself is approved, but to whom the Lord commends, he is the approved. So the first thing we can take from this is that we are in a church, we're in a family to learn to cooperate with each other. So we do not clash with each other. Respect each other's position, their work in their position, so that we can live in a group harmoniously as God requires of us, in unity, without division, all speaking one voice. So this is one of the limitations we have. We have to live in a group, in a family, so we can live with each other and do our work and get on with doing God's work as a team. To learn cooperation as a team is the first lesson, if you like, in living as a Christian. So let's turn back to just a few pages to the next first book of Romans. The book of Romans is before here, to a couple of books back, to Romans 15. Romans 15 and verse 1. And we can see that even Jesus Christ could not please himself. He had to work within his limitations, which he did voluntarily, of course, for us. So Romans 15 and verse 1. We then who are strong ought to bear the scruples of the weak, not to please ourselves. Another limitation on ourselves. Another boundary. Verse 2. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. He took our sins on him, on himself. Verse 4, for whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. There is blessings in keeping it within God's borders, in his boundaries for our life, including reading the scriptures and, of course, obtaining patience and comfort from them. Verse 5, now may the God of patience, here is another blessing for conforming to God's way of life, to being a true Christian. Now may God, the God of patience and comfort, grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Jesus Christ. So as Christ is to us, we have to be to each other. Verse 6, that you may be, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So again, to learn how to cooperate in harmony with each other. This is good training now, and of course it'll be vital training for the future in God's kingdom. These instructions apply to Christ, they apply to the Apostle Paul, but how about us? Let's go back to Romans 12. Romans 12, and we'll just read from verses 3 to 8. Verses 3 to 8 of Romans 12. To see if these limitations apply to all of us, all of God's people. Verse 3 says, for I say through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. So we have our own limits, a measure of faith. We are limited by how much Holy Spirit we're given at baptism. We don't have 100% as Christ did when he came here as a human being. For verse 4, for as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. So we belong to each other. Verse 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, so let us use them in if prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or verse 7, or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. So this, once again, shows that we are all obliged to work, live in harmony, to cooperate together, to learn how to cooperate, and not to clash with each other. So this is, applies to all of us. The leadership, even Jesus Christ, the head of the church, has to conform with these instructions. But how do we do that? We're going to look at verses 9 to 21 to see all the things we should be doing and all the things we are not doing, we're not to do. And to, so we can conform with this instruction to live in harmony, not to clash, and to cooperate and to do the work as one body. Because this will stand us in good stead in the kingdom of God. And also it's clear from reading these that God does not accept only a little obedience, or even 99% obedience and 1% disobedience. So this is important that we stick to these limits God has placed on us. So let's go to verse 2. First sentence of verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world. There is a limit on us, brethren. We cannot live as the world lives. We have to live according to all of God's instructions, which are from verse 9 to 21. We'll read some here so we can get some idea what our limitations are and what we can do. And of course, God expects us to stay in these limitations, but also to grow in spirit, in knowledge, and in truth. While we're in this situation, we can have the blessings that God will give us peace and safety and blessings of good things he gives us, each one of us, every day. So verse 9, let's go to verse 9 now to read these verses here to see what we have to do and what we have to avoid to stay within God's law, within his family, in harmony, in unity. Verse 9 says, let love be without hypocrisy. It has to be true love, not feigned or fake. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. So there are three things in that verse alone, to do and not to do. Verse 10, to do. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the eternal. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, praying always. Verse 13, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse, which is a difficult thing to do. Verse 15, rejoicing with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. Of course, that brings to mind Philippians 4, verse 8, where we are to have our minds on what is truth and what is lovely, and reject what is ugly and it hurts and damages people. Verse 18, if it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Eternal. Therefore, verse 20, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Verse 21, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil. So here's the third part of life, of being a Christian, is to overcome evil. In all the seven churches in Revelations 2 and 3, each one had to overcome all the faults and problems in those eras. And we today are the same. And by overcoming and keeping within God's law and keeping within his fear he's given us, each one of us, of our physical lives, then we are building holy, righteous character, which is the only thing we can take with us into his kingdom. So these are all three vital parts of living within our limitations, if you like, our boundaries God has put upon us. Living in the Christian life. First one. Because, of course, being protected and blessed in God's position, he's put us in the church, in the kingdom. We are to overcome, and we are to have a great love for each other, to cooperate, to learn to cooperate with each other and live in harmony. And we have to learn it now so we do not clash with those in the church of God, with our families, so that we can live harmoniously and be blessed by God, and also at the same time learn and appreciate that we are building holy, righteous character in our lives. So if you take those three things with you, because don't forget, we have to teach these things in the millennium. We have to teach those coming after us. They have to go through the same process, live within the same limits that we've had to live in, and because we've experienced it, we can pass on our knowledge, our help, and our instructions to them in a wise manner that they can understand, and we can have empathy for them, and they will see that we're with them, and not for them, not against them, and not harshly ruling over them, but we are helping them every step of the way to make it into the kingdom, as we, of course, at that time will have done already.